Hey guys, how are we doing today? Good to see you guys. Thank you for being here. I know there's some visitors with us today. We're so grateful that you're with us. We are in week two of a series about family conflict and really about just relational conflict, things that can happen. And so in your home or in your work or with friends, whatever it is, you can have conflict. And so we're talking about kind of where it comes from and how to deal with it. And last week, just to catch you up very, very quickly, we had a whole discussion about how conflict with others, it really comes from conflict in yourself, within yourself. That actually what happens is we get to this place where there's something that we want. And it may be justified. It might even be so difficult that it's a true need. But there's this power that happens inside of us when we want something so bad that that conflict, that desire, that passion that can happen, whether it's for a little thing, like, hey, I wanted you to get out of my way so I could make that exit off of the freeway, or some more intense thing, like in a marital situation where you're wanting them to speak to you a certain way or whatever it is, like you kind of want something, then what that is there's a void inside of you, and that void inside of you, it kind of bursts out into relationships and into people. And so what we did last week is we had a really cool moment in our service where we talked about the question, this very simple question, what do you want? Like, what is the source of your conflict? What is the thing that you want that you don't feel like you're getting? So kind of like move it away from other people and go inside and ask the question, what do you want? And so I brought and had an opportunity to bring people who felt that they had that conflict and felt that they had some wants that weren't being met or some needs that weren't being met. And we all gathered up here and we just talked about how God is truly the shepherd of our souls, and that when we follow him, that we'll be without want. And so that's a big idea, and I think some of you went through that process, and I hope that some of you, as you're just coming in and listening to this series, you can start to just meet us in that groove of, I believe with all of my heart that the source of conflict with other people is a conflict that is happening inside of you, whether big or small. And I believe that you can figure out ways, and we're going to talk about ways to govern that conflict, but I believe that the true source of solving that conflict is to do something that can happen only inside of you, and to have something happen inside of you where conflict gets resolved and you become a different person, and from the inside out, your conflict is resolved. And so, when we ask this question, what do you want? Without being too presumptuous, I believe that the answer is somewhere in the next couple of words. That if you came up last week, or you sit in the room and you think, man, I'm having conflict with my neighbor, I'm having conflict with my coworker, I'm having conflict with my friend, I'm having conflict with my spouse. And if you stop talking about or thinking about what they did wrong, maybe playing the blame game, whatever that is that you do to kind of put it on them, if you started to ask the question, what do I want? And you just literally sat for 10 minutes and thought, what is it that I'm seeking? What is it that I want that's making me so frustrated that it's causing conflict or making my heart feel a certain way? What is it that I want? I believe that the answer, in a general sense, that your answer to that question fits in these next couple of words. So I just want to share with you what I think they are. So I think this is the answer to your question. I think sometimes you want this. You want the truth. There are some people that are in here and you're just like, you know, like I'm experiencing something. And it's actually a lie. It might be something like this. And this is just an example, and I can't give a ton on all of these. But you might have grown up in a household where, you know, everything that was said to you made you feel like you weren't good enough. Like just constantly maybe you were being compared to your sibling. Or constantly you felt like, you know, you never got told good job, and literally unless you got a perfect grade or you won the game. And so all the time, the passive signals were saying to you, you're not good enough. You're only valuable if you perform. I mean, I know that there are some people in here that feel that we're only valuable if we perform. And what that does is that causes conflict inside of us. That makes us want something that we're designed to have, which is a sense of self. It's a sense of wholeness. It's a sense of safety. It's a sense of feeling loved and feeling like you belong in a family. The other day, our son Jet, he's six, he came home and he was bawling. And he said that one of his friends said that he wasn't smart and that He said that just kids fighting, and my kids do the same thing, so I'm not picking on other families. But one of the kids said to him he said to Katie, I'm upset because they made me feel like I don't have a family. They made me feel like I don't have a family. And as we kind of investigated that, what happened is the kid was telling him, we don't want you to play with us. We don't want you to play with us. And Jeff's interpretation of that was, they told me that I don't belong in this family. They made me feel like I don't have a family. You see, what can happen is when certain things are said, we learn other things. There's passive things. And for parenting, that's a lot to hear. And I'm not saying I have that all figured out, because when you say something, you're ultimately not saying a bunch of other things. But if you go and you grew up in a place where you feel like no matter what, like you're just not good enough, then what you're wondering is like, what is the truth? Like the truth is that you are, and I want to stop believing that lie, and I'm going to stop going to them to get that lie solved. I've got to figure out the truth in me and come to a place in me that is resolved. So when you think about what you want, this is the kind of dialogue I want you to start having. I know that's a little intense, but if you could do some introspection, you would see that it fits in these categories. You want the truth, lots of other versions of the truth. Here's another thing you might want. You want forgiveness. I mean, right? You got a conflict going on inside of you. Maybe you have a conflict with other people. Maybe it's just constantly engaging. Maybe at the root of it, you did something wrong and you don't feel like you've been forgiven. There's a root of bitterness. There's this brokenness between relationships. So no matter what you do, you can never catch up. It's an uphill battle. And really what you're wanting is you're just wanting someone to come along and say, you know, we forgive you. And then you actually want forgiveness to materialize in your life where the person starts to actually treat you like you're forgiven. A lot of us are wanting that. A lot of us have a past, we've done something, whatever it is, and we're just wanting whoever those people are to forgive us. What is it that you want, right? This is the dialogue. Here's another thing I know that we're looking for. We're looking for peace. We're just looking for peace. I mean, this could be summed up in a very simple sense of we want the opposite of anxiety. We want the opposite of depression, right? Like, if you're like me, you know, I grew up in a home where there was divorce and lots of kids, and I'm not saying it all came from that, and I made my own choices and all that stuff, but like before I could articulate what I wanted, my soul just felt like waves. Just waves, just kind of like, and at times stormy, and then at times go like this. And, you know, some of it's just my personality, some of it's just whatever, what I grew up in, what I didn't grow up in. Whatever it is, something that a friend said to me one day. But I know that, like, there's this thing that happened out there that caused this brokenness in me. And I'm going, I just want to, like, feel calm. That's what I want. I want to feel calm because I don't feel peace. For some people, this peace right here is you actually are looking for a relationship that is peaceful. Because there's something around you, it's just always conflict, always conflict, always conflict, always conflict. And there's actually a part of you, whether you know this or not, that is designed to have a relationship with God. And a relationship with God is peace. It's peace. And Scripture actually teaches that until you engage into a relationship with God the way that God made the relationship available to you, that you are actually an enemy of God. And that's crazy, right? But it's true. So when you feel at odds with God, you don't feel peace. And so Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. So Jesus is a pathway. Jesus is a door. Jesus is a lamp. He's a light. And when you enter into a relationship with God, what happens is the brokenness between you and God goes away. And when you have brokenness in your heart, it plays out in all your relationships. And so you're saying, I want peace. And the only way you can get peace is to really have a relationship with Jesus or have some things solved. Here's another thing that you want, someone to trust. Right? Like you want someone to trust. Like if you were like, I have conflict with my coworker, I have conflict with my spouse, I have conflict with my old best friend. If you really just stopped making it about them and looked inside, you would go, you know, I've been burned. Right? I mean, how many of us in this room have just been burned, just been betrayed? Maybe by parents, by friends, by whatever it is. You feel betrayed. And all you want is someone in your life that says what they mean and does what they say, and that it just, there's no gap between what you've experienced and what you want in your, you just want someone you can trust. You just want someone that like has a good, like above, you know, Major League Baseball batting average. Like you want someone that at least is 500. And they're out there. And maybe you don't have that with your parents or with your friends, so you're just going, oh. So when you start to ask, why is there conflict with other people? Maybe it's within me, what do I want? Some of you are literally, like, could define it by, I just don't have anyone that I can really trust in my life. And so conflict happens. Here's another one. Hope. Hope. The scripture said that hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Some people in here are sick. Because you don't understand the purpose of tomorrow. You just don't. You're just waking up and hitting the snooze button and getting showered and eating Golden Grahams and then getting in the car and then going to a job, and you just stare and you just don't and you just whatever. And it's just like, what is the point? What is the point of all of this? And so when you don't have hope, when you don't have this inward assurance that something greater is coming, that there's a solution, that there's a solve, that there's a refreshment, that there's a bereavement, that there's some type of joy, that there's some type of tranquility, that there's some type of healing. Oh, man, then like you just live in that day as if eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. And that's what a lack of hope is if this is all it is, and there's nothing more, then you're just inside, you're just living like this. And then you might cause conflict around you because you expect someone else or whatever to bring you that hope. But here's another, last thing, purpose. You start thinking about your conflict, right? I mean, how many husbands have been at a job and you know, because of pride, you're not allowed to say you feel that you hate your job. You're not allowed to say it, right? Because you got to work, and I'm not supposed to hate it, and we live in America, and, you know, in the grand scheme of things, big picture, I got first world problems. But ultimately, you hate your job. You go there, and you feel like there's this thing inside of you that is like, I can do more. There has to be more. What am I doing this for? I feel like I could do this. You see other things, but you just have to stay on task. And you literally are going through this grind of you don't feel like you have a purpose in the world. And then you go home, and not feeling purpose causes a fight. How was your day? How was your day? Bad. I don't want to talk about it. Well, that's not my problem. Well, it is now. I mean, it's that fast, right? You don't have purpose. You hate your job. You bring that into other places. But really, there's something going on inside of you where you just feel like, you're just lost at sea with no compass. Like you're just spinning your wheels. I believe that all of the conflict, for the most part, that you have inside of you could be put in one of these categories. And that if you got the answer to the lie that you've been living, that you, if you got the forgiveness that you feel you need, if you got the peace with God and you felt that inside, and if you had someone in your life that you could really depend upon, and if you had hope that there was a future, and if you had purpose that you were spending your time doing something that really mattered, that might start to resolve your conflict. And so pastors do this thing, right, where we make really complicated things sound too easy and too simple. Let me tell you an insider, like, inside trick to this. It's not that we make something complicated more simple. It's we don't know how else to say it. Like, we don't know how to, like, it, that's all it is for us. We don't know how to explain it more complicatedly, so we just do it as simple as possible. We give you everything we got. I'm not up here, like, taking all my big ideas and boiling them down so that they're edible for you. I'm telling you everything I know. And so what we do is we just kind of like, it seems like we just give you all the stuff. We say, hey, here's the 7 golden keys to future success. Here's the platinum steps to a future with God. It sounds simple, right? Read this book, listen to my message, and everything will be okay. If this is true, your conflict inside lives in one of these categories, then the question is this: why don't you have what you want? Why don't you have it? Right? It's like, okay, so if I got the answer to that, why don't I have it? If I experienced that, why don't I have it? You just told me it was that. If I get it, why don't I have it? And there's a really simple answer to this, and I have a very simple message today because it's a simple message, but it is one of those fundamentals, like in anything you do, that if you do it, it will change the game of your life. It is a pivot reaction that you have to start making in the midst of conflict. And said simply, it's like, really, I came to church just for that? But the reason that you don't have what you want is very, 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 very simple. But the way to get there is very, very challenging and takes a lot of discipline. This week, I had an amazing meeting. Someone called me through Facebook Messenger and said, hey, we're new to the church. I want to get together with you. I want to spend some time with you and just get to know you. And so we had a couple of exchanges, and then we ended up and we went to lunch this week. And I sat down with this awesome guy who lives here in New Albany, has some kids. And I said, hey, you know, what can I do for you? After a little bit of small talk, what are we here for? You reached out. What do we need to talk about? Like, how can I help you? You know, I am bad at small talk. Like, you will find that out. Like, so if we're like new friends, I like move past comfortable too quickly. Because so how are you feeling today? I'm not telling you how I'm feeling. Okay, well then let's just eat our salad and shut up. I mean, I don't know what to say to you. Like, it's like I'm sitting there and I kind of am like, you know, I'm wired and I'm like, there's purpose in this and I want to get to that purpose. What's the purpose? And he said, you know, can you just tell me how you got to this relationship with God? Like, how this all happened for you? And I'm like, oh, man. And I'm like, well, when I was young, you know, I learned about Jesus, my dad and family that shared Christ with us, and my dad believed you had to be born again, and I heard the message of Jesus and that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so, and it was real for me. And then when I was 12, you know, knew I was supposed to be a pastor, so I started studying the Bible and going to Christian camps and all this stuff, and I just believed in the person, you know, of Jesus, and he said, yeah, you know, I'm just struggling with, he said, do you ever have doubts? I said, so you have doubts about your faith? And he said, yeah, I do. I said, I have doubts all the time about my faith, but here's where this thing can start to become more clear for you. And I said, I asked him a question. I said, do you struggle with the historical Jesus, that he was on earth and a real person? And he said, no. He said, I believe at least he was a good teacher. I said, well, so here's the deal. The reason that you and I are sitting here today and that we go to churches and that churches exist is because 2,000 years ago, this man Jesus did all those things that you heard he did, and he did those miracles, and then he died, and then he rose from the dead. And lots of people saw him, but not thousands and thousands of people. Hundreds of people saw him, and from people being genuine eyewitnesses of a man who they know died a horrific, excruciating death on a cross, and then seeing him raised from the dead with those scars, that is why we're here today. Because a real man was seen by real people who went without a Bible for over 100 years telling the story that Jesus actually rose from the dead. And from that, just think about that for a minute, you guys, from like people going, we saw him, and then someone said, we know someone who knew someone who saw him, and then we know someone and we know someone who saw him. People would go, really? What was the story? And it was based on miracles, a miracle. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. So people from all religions left their polytheistic ideals for this monotheistic man who did these miracles and rose from the dead, and from that, this growth of the Christian church sprung. And I said, so that's why we're here, and that's why I believe it. And I said, for you, you need to wrestle with, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you believe he is who he says he is, and he did what he said, he did what it says he did? And he's like, huh. And I said all that, maybe not that dramatically, but I said all that Which, look, there's a lot of people in the room here a lot smarter than me. I'm sorry, that's a good answer. That's, like, not a bad answer. Like, I'm not, like, the best pastor, but, like, that's good, right? I study this, that's good. But I could tell nothing. Nothing. And he's like, so I backed up, and I went, okay, so I just gave him my uppercut, nothing. Nothing. And I said, and I could just tell on his face, I said, do you struggle with the existence of God? And he said, yeah. So now it's like, okay, now we got to back up further. So now I get to go into this other world called apologetics, which, of course, I'm like a junior, a junior teacher on that. So I said, okay. I said, so you struggle whether or not there's a real God. So we started to move into this apologetics thing. So I took him down the road of moral law, right? Doesn't this sound fun? At North Star, Easton. So I said, you have kids, right? If I hit your kid, would you be mad? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, of course you would. Why? And he's like, because it's wrong. And I said, well, why is it wrong? And he said, it just is wrong. I said, do you think that girl down there would think it was wrong? And he said, yeah, I think it was wrong. I said, do you think you have to believe in God to feel that that was wrong? And he said, no, it's just wrong. I said, why is it wrong? He said, I don't know why it's wrong. I said, because humanity has a written moral code on it of right and wrong. That's just the way we are. There, all things being equal, when we look at certain things, there's a line that gets crossed, and we think that's wrong. We think certain things are just flat out wrong, especially when it has to do with kids. There's just no one, very few argue that that's the thing. I said, so if there's a law, then there has to be a lawmaker. Where did that come from, and why do all people concur? I said, there's an agreement on basic right and wrong that lives within people that shows what a creative consistency. And he was like, huh. And I could tell, I was like, okay, that was decent, but that's like all I got with apologetics. And so I go, if you really want to learn more about that, I said, then you need to go, have you ever heard of Ravi Zacharias? Ravi Zacharias is one of like the top four leading apologetics teachers, communicators in the world. He's an Indian man that travels all over the world teaching like how to defend the existence of God, actually defending the existence of God, and he actually is part of the evangelical belief system of who Jesus is and knowing him. He is one of the most brilliant thinkers in the world, and if he can't answer your questions about the existence of God and the reality of who Jesus was, then probably no one can, and it's moved into the spiritual world. Raise your hand if you have ever heard of Ravi Zacharias. Millions of views on YouTube. Speaks at all Christian campuses all over the world. I asked this guy, have you ever heard of Ravi Zacharias? He goes, yeah, he's my brother-in-law's uncle. What? He pulls out a picture of him golfing with his nephew. I said, have you ever met him? He goes, oh yeah. You've met him? I said, dude, you spent 3 weeks Facebook messaging me. I just gave you all I got with half of a mouthful of salad. And you have the leader in how to articulate the questions that you are asking one family member away? Do you know what he does? He goes, kind of. I said, bro, you're asking the wrong person. I said, I just gave you both barrels, man. I said, go call your uncle. Here's the reason that so many of us don't have what we want is we go to the wrong people. We go to the wrong people. And even Ravi Zacharias, in the paradigm of understanding the heart's most intimate needs and the actions that it takes place in order for those needs to be met through the Holy Spirit, would tell you that for some of the world's and the human soul's deepest questions that he doesn't have the facility to answer, and that only one place can give you those answers. But this is a perfect example. Why don't you have what you want? Is it because of your spouse? Is it because of your friend? Is it because of your job? Is it because of your parents? Is it what? Why do you have this thing inside of you that is inside of you that you spill out onto other people? But really the answer is inside of you, and then you've got this brokenness inside of you, and what do? You cast fishing lines into all the groups of people around you, hoping that you'll catch something that moves into your soul and solves your conflict. It will never, ever, 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 ever be enough. It will be some. There are some people who can add value to that change and all you need. But the full manifestation of peace in your heart and ending conflict is simple, but difficult, because we do not believe it and we do not pursue it. James asked the question, why don't you have what you want? The brother of Jesus, and he answers it right here in James chapter 4. He says this, you do not have because you do not ask God. That's the only reason. You have conflict. You're going to the wrong people. You're going to the wrong source. Oh man, I've read the books. I've had the counselors. I've had the conversations. And if you haven't done any of that, you're way behind, because you need to do all that. Because what happens when you go and ask God for help, he'll go talk to really good people and read really good books. Gain wisdom. Learn about yourself. But ultimately, there's a disparity between what any person, what any book, what any information, what anything on earth can give you and what God can give you. And the Christian church has to stop moving towards people to solve what's going on inside of us. We have to actually prove that we believe in a God who can miraculously bring peace to our heart, trust in our heart. It's only God. Here's why we have conflict. Let me read this to you. I promise it's coming. We fight because we expect more out of people and less out of God. We expect it. The conflict starts out there. Now we realize that it's in here. And then for some reason, instead of saying, God, move in here and help me in here, we go back out to people and say, I expect you to solve this for me. And here's what happens when you start to get upset. Here's what happens when conflict starts to rage. Here's what happens is you turn to people. You flip them the bird, right? You say the last line. You send the text. Whatever it is, you just put it out on them. And a life lived by faith in Jesus Christ is one that believes that the Holy Spirit of the living God dwells in us, and we are temples, and he is there to be with us. And when we expect more out of God than others, conflict within us shrinks. If you start to shift your mind away from anyone else and just go to God. Just go to God. You're upset, go to God. You're upset, pray. You're upset, breathe and pray and speak to God. You're upset, move away from a situation. You're upset, take a minute and actually articulate your feelings to the living God, who is the one who can actually help you. You see, the scriptures say this about God in Proverbs 18. It says, the name of the Lord is like a strong tower. The righteous will run into it and be saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Do you know that when conflict starts to well in you, that God has given you a fortress of strength in one name, and it's the name Jesus? And if you just start to speak the name of Jesus in the midst of your conflict, in the midst of your lacking trust, in your mix of not feeling forgiveness, if you just, Jesus, I need you right now. You go to the bathroom for 5 minutes and just pray, just stop. When you start to lean on God more than you lean on others, conflict within you fades away, and conflict with others starts to fade away. Imagine if all of us looked at every conflict and we stopped looking at the people that are in the center of it to be the solution of it. And we went to God and we said, God, I need you. I need you all the time. I need you to help me in here. I need you to solve this in here. I need you to be what only you can be. And so ask God. Ask him. Say the name Jesus. And here's the deal. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, there's a moment that that has to take place. It has to take place. And you have to actually confess, and you have to say that you believe that Jesus is God and that you believe he rose from the dead, and then he will actually abide in you. And it's amazing. Jesus even says, you know, if you abide in me and my word abides in you and you keep my teaching, and you become my disciples, then you will get the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so for anyone that's in there, you know, maybe you've heard that because you don't know Jesus, you're dying and going to hell. Maybe you've heard that because you don't know Jesus, that God's mad at you. First of all, the pieces of that truth are under-communicated and over-exaggerated, and the fact that God is mad at you is just the wrong thing to say. But what if today, the reason that you came to Jesus Christ to ask him to save you, to be your Lord and Master, is not just because of where you think you might end up, or not just because you want to have a better relationship with the God who made you, but maybe it's just because you're sick and tired of the conflict in your life, and you're going, I want to invite the one person who can actually do some good. And maybe you run to Jesus first, and you make him your Savior, and you put your faith in him instead of other people and instead of yourself. My challenge for anyone in here today is if you don't know the person of Jesus, he loves you, and he has something for you, and he wants to dwell with you and in you and through you, and he is good, and he is never going to let you down, and people will let you down, and you will let yourself down, but when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, God in the flesh, and he took the penalty of our sin, the thing that separates us from God, he took that away from all of us. He put it on his back, and he paid the penalty through an excruciating death on the cross. And then all of that sin was wiped away, and when he rose from the dead, he invited every person. You put your faith in me, and your sin is wiped away. You are forgiven, and you now have a restored relationship with God where you get to go live now like it's forever and live forever. And that's what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus. And so I want to invite anyone in this room that has never placed their faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross, on who he is, the lover of your soul. And watch, now that he's in there, if he's not in there already, that you can go to him. Because you're not going to be able to solve conflict by just going to some inward place. You've got to actually go to the person who's inside, and that's got to be the person of Jesus. And so I just want to invite you to pray with me. Would everyone just bow your heads and just take a minute? And if you have a relationship with Jesus, would you just say something to him right now that sounds like this? Jesus, I'm sorry that I turn everywhere else but to you. I have my weight on the wrong foot, God, and I want to put my weight on you. I want to come to you when I'm in this conflict. I'm relying on you and not them from now on. And if you're in here today and you've never actually confessed that Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confessed it with your mouth, then right now I just want you in your heart, in your soul, with your faith, to just say, God, I believe you love me. I believe you made me. I am made in your image. And I believe that my sin has broken our relationship, but I believe that penalty was paid on the cross. That you took the penalty, you paid the price with your blood. And so I believe today in your name that my sin is wiped away, and therefore my relationship with you and with God is fully restored. Just say that to him. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if anyone said that prayer to accept Jesus for the first time, would you just raise your hand? Just stick your hand up. Thanks, man, I see that. Stick your hand up if you said that prayer. Don't be ashamed. It's dark in here. I want to see that God is working in your life, and I know that he is. If you said that prayer, stick your hand up in the air. If you said the prayer before that, where you're just going to kind of repent and change your mind and start going to God instead of going to others, would you just raise your hand? That you would just move in that direction from now on. Father, we lift up our hearts to you. You are the maker. You are the lover of our souls. It is your kindness that leads to repentance. And so we are here today because of your kindness. You are good. You are good. You are never, ever, ever going to let us go. You're never going to let us down. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're in here today and you said any prayer and you just want more prayer or you want more discussion, or maybe you said that second prayer where you accepted Christ for the first time. I know there's some of you that did that. Would you just fill out this connection card that's underneath your seat? We have a whole group of people that want to pray for you and have real conversations with you about stuff I'm talking about and a whole lot more. And if you just, you know, listened to the pastor today and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you had a moment and you don't know what all that means, I'm telling you right now that that's the beginning of something beautiful, and it is first and foremost not something that you can do alone. It is a brotherhood, it is a family, it is a group of believers that gather in the single name of Jesus, and there are people who have gone before you who exist to help you. And so please fill out that card, because it's almost like you're accepting something and then not nurturing it the way that it needs to be nurtured. You need someone to come alongside you, have more conversations, pray for you. We have places called small groups where you can engage into a community of people that at one point, many of them did what you just did. So you need to reach out to us. So please fill out those things before you leave here today and drop them off with someone up front, or leave them on your chair filled out. We love you guys. We thank you so much for being here. Don't miss next week, Family Feud, week 3. We'll see you then.